Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Watch What Crappens ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the app today.
Wondery's new podcast, This Job is History, is hosted by Chris Parnell from Saturday Night Live and Rick and Morty. Steeped in factual history, this brilliantly funny podcast delves into quirky and absurd jobs from the past. Clock in and listen to This Job is History on Amazon Music or wherever you get your podcasts.
Watch What Crappens, Watch What Crappens. What happens when there's so much that crappens?
Crappens. Crappens.
Crappens. Watch what crappens. Watch what crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens? Watch what crappens. Watch what crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens?
Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to talk about. I'm Ben Mandelker, and joining me today is the wonderful and handsome and hilarious man, Mr. Ronnie Karam. Hi, Ronnie. How are you?
Hi.
Hi.
I'm good. It's perfect that we're doing Jersey today because I went to get a chemical peel and the lady's like, hey, now this stuff is tinted. So be sure you don't get it on your pillow or whatever. And I didn't look at myself, you know, but I just turned on this video camera to do Crappens on Demand. And I look like a Jersey cast member. I look totally spray tanned. And look, not on my neck, only my face.
I think it looks good. I think it looked good, Ronnie.
Isn't that funny? Nice. I showed up to the Jersey recap with a sizzle tan. All right.
Yeah, I like it. I'm looking paler than ever, especially because I've got my blinds drawn, and so it's making it look like I'm in a cloud. I wonder if I open them, does that make it, is that prettier? I don't know. Either way, it's Crappens on Demand.
I like the cloud.
You like the cloud? Okay, I'll keep the cloud. There, you're at full cloud. It's Crappens on Demand, so go to patreon.com/watchforcrappens, and if you support us at the Crappens on Demand level, you can watch us do the podcast, not just listen to it, so you can see me and my cloud, you can see Ronnie's fake tan. And you also get access to our bonus episode. This week, we're doing Below Deck on the bonus. We're going to be sort of recapping it there because nothing really happened on Below Deck this week. They're just at the point of the season where they're just filling out their episode order. So it's like,
yeah, man,
Ben
Below
flirting
Deck
with Leanne to no
wrap
effect.
It up. Wrap yeah. it up. Yet another season of Below Deck that does not need to be 19,000 episode. It's people cleaning a boat, okay? This show needs 12 episodes, tops. Cut the crap, Below Deck, okay? You're already on all day, every single day, except thanks to Scandoval, because now they're finally playing some Vanderpump Rules in the day on that channel.
Yeah. Well, either way, and we have like a million shows that we're recapping right now, and it's going to become even more next week when Girls Trip comes back. So, you know, we're just sort of like managing stuff. So go to patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens if you want to hear that recap. Also, next week we are going to Denver and we're going to recap Vanderpump Rules in Denver. So, you know, pitchforks are welcome. And then the next night in Salt Lake City, we're going to be doing The Real Housewives Ultimate Girls Trip. Salt Lake City, extremely excited to go there because we've never been there. I've never even been to Salt Lake City ever. And I'm thrilled to go there because we have the Real Housewives of Salt Lake City there. So it's always exciting to go to a Bravo city. And my nephew goes to college there. So how about that? So anyway, that's all the news. Go to watchcrappens.com to get your tickets. Also, we're going to Seattle and San Francisco the following week. And then we're going to be going to Philadelphia and to Toronto in April. So that's all the news. That's all the exciting stuff. And for right now, we're going to talk some Real Housewives of New Jersey. We're going to dig into another big charity baseball game for Maimonides. It's a Maimonides episode.
It's a Maimonides charity episode.
Maimonides.
So something that has lived in my brain rent-free lately is payback's a bitch. See, you better stop barking. Fuck does that mean, man? I still don't know what that means. Payback's a bitch, so start barking. I don't get it.
She's
I don't
telling
know
payback
is
to start barking because payback is paying back now. So like the barking is starting, or it's like, oh, payback is a bitch, and like maybe you're like a boy dog, and so the boy dog needs a lover, and so start barking to woo the payback.
It doesn't make any sense. It sounds like she's saying, payback's a bitch, Ronnie, so start barking. But if Payback's going to pay me back, then why would I start barking?
You shouldn't.
At Payback. You
don't
know what I mean?
Don't bark at Payback.
It just sounds like a bad sentence. Not that that surprises me, but it even kind of gets me to stop thinking about Teresa's line, which is still amazing too, about shedding blood and how it's going to be thicker. It's harder to clean up.
Yeah. Because she's spilling large quantities of blood everywhere.
Yeah.
And creating stains.
So we open with the boom, tong, 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 tong. Yeah, the 50s music. And Danielle is driving Valentina at his school. She's like, are you going to talk to me before you go to school, Valentina, huh?
Valentina's like, no, I took my uncle's side. Oh, come on. I'm trying to have a conversation with you.
I'm trying to have a conversation with you.
I've seen better videos in gas station waiting lines. Hey, that's it. I'm not talking to you anymore, Valentina. You're blocked from my Insta.
So then Dolores is with Paulie, and she's like, Paul, I don't know what to wear. He goes,
oh, that one's nice, because you have that waddle when you walk.
That's why I'm always behind ya.
Yeah, she goes, Paul. What do you mean, waddle? I like that Dolores always could kill you in the next line. She's like, what do you mean, waddle, huh?
Yeah, you better fix that flirtation a little bit. And then Margaret has just come out of surgery for her arm. So she's like medicated, but she's still very Marge-like. And she's like, I don't feel anything. I'm like medicated, but like my eyelashes lasted. So that's the good news. That was for you.
Joe, look at this arm. I barely touch it and then it moves itself. Look at that, Joe. I didn't even touch that. All right. I mean, look. Oh, my God. Look, my arm is trying to move to fix your shirt and I'm not in charge of it. Even my arm thinks you look like a slob, Joe. Go fix yourself, Joe. Come back here, arm.
Joe, look at my arm. My arm has come alive. Look, it's already picking out a new polo shirt for you. Okay, how about the sea foam polo shirt? It's your favorite, Joe. I didn't even do it. I didn't even control it. My arm's just doing it for me.
So Teresa goes to a therapist. Okay, A, this is hilarious because it's performative. But B, it's hilarious because it's a therapist name. And it just sounds like...
So
it sounds like my... It sounds like a Salt Lake City name, I think.
Yes.
Tegan Sorvino Keele.
Is it Keeley? I thought it was Quill, but that's just because I'm super
Quill.
White.
Let's go with Quill.
Quill. Yeah. Either way, I mean, we'll have to find out. Maybe it is Keeley. This episode is bookended by therapist scenes. They were being like, they're like, listen, for this episode, let's be thoughtful about the structure. We begin and we end with a therapist scene. So now we're going to open up with Tegan. I was so with you. I loved that. Tegan Sorvino Quill. Just so perfect.
She's really good because her office is like in a hallway in a public service building of some kind. And the wall behind Teresa is made out of glass blocks.
I don't even think there's a door.
I think you just walk around the glass. Are you doing this in a gym shower? Like, what is this?
Like in typical Jersey fashion, like even the therapist's office is from the 80s, you know?
Yeah. So Tree's like, oh, this is, you know, hey, doctor. And Tegan's like, hello, you can call me Dr. Tegan Sorvino Quill. Okay. And Tree's like, yeah, you know, this is a big time for me. Can you believe I'm getting married?
I've been in therapy for 6 months and like I was always against it, but like just because I thought I could fix myself, but like I didn't like the way I reacted towards Margaret. And so even though it felt like it was valid what I did, you know, throwing drinks at her and stuff, like Louis is very into therapy and he said like, I don't have to react that way. So I'm going to react in less fun ways for me.
So Teresa, this is why nothing works with Teresa. She's in therapy. Now she's been through this therapy session. Possibly multiples. And now she's had the time to think about it and then talk about it. And she's still saying, even though I think it was valid. Okay. Then you have not learned a fucking thing, Teresa. Okay. Not one fucking thing. And I like that when she said, you know, I regret how I treated Marge. And then it just cuts to the reunion where she goes, oh, shut the fuck up, you stupid bitch. And then pulls back like, I'm a better person now. Basically, Louis's making her go.
Did you sort of feel like this therapist was just like Kathy Wakile in a costume? Like this is like Kathy's like doing a Mrs. Doubtfire, like Mrs. Therapy Fire, because she's like, I can't talk to my cousin Teresa if she sees my face, so I have to be in costume and pretend to be a therapist, because she looks just like Kathy Wakile.
I think she's like New Jersey's answer to that lady with The big hair that Jennifer Grey is playing in the new HBO Max documentary. It was based on the lady who started that cult with the hair that was higher to heaven. What was her name? Do you know who I mean?
Jennifer Grey is...
Grey is playing her. So you know how they made that HBO documentary
About the lady,
the religious
the car
cult?
Crash? The car yes. crash lady?
No, she got I'm in the not,
airplane
crash,
airplane
think.
Crash, yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't know there was an HBO movie, like scripted version of that.
Let me get it right. Because
Jennifer Grey, that's amazing.
Yeah, she's playing Gwen Shamblin.
Gwen Shamblin.
Was her name. Yes, Gwen Shamblin, Starving for Salvation. And it's going to be a Lifetime movie. So yeah, that's a little far from HBO, actually. But I think she's new. I think this therapist is New Jersey's answer to Gwen Shamblin. That's what I'm getting. That's a very long way around that one, but sorry.
What can we just compromise and say it's Kathy Wakile in a Gwen Shamblin costume?
Okay. Well, I feel like Kathy Wakile would be like, "Here, I've got one question for you. Why am I looking after your children? Your children are, no one's watching your children right now, Teresa."
So Dr. Teagan saying like, so you love how calm Louis is and you're working on being that way. And she's like,
yeah, I guess that was like my way of just, fixing a problem. It's like lashing out. Cause I just want to fix things, you know? And like, I guess my delivery is not always the way it should be.
And then they just cut to her throwing a million glasses across the table at Margaret. No, probably not the best delivery. Yeah. That would be great.
It's like 2012, table toss, 2013, glass toss, 2014, another glass toss, 2015, another glass toss and a strangle, 2015, strangling a cat and throwing it at a mariachi band, 2016, throwing a small mariachi band member into Melissa's face. It's more and more.
It was like when she said, I guess my delivery is not the way it should be. It's like you could just see the editor slow-mo pressing the button that says Teresa table flip footage. Like you just saw it coming.
Yeah. So Teresa's like, yeah, he's teaching me to approach things differently. So now I just carry a knife so I don't got to threaten people with glasses no more. And she's like, yeah. And then there was boys night and that didn't go good because my brother told Joe to fuck off. My brother told Louis to fuck off like 10 times. And Louis said, don't worry because he's in pain. He's in pain about it.
Yeah, he's a real compassionate guy.
Yeah. So I called him and I said, like, are you ready to make peace? And he said, yeah. But then he didn't come to the housewarming party.
And he was
yeah,
like,
all I wanted was to make peace, but then he didn't go to Raquel's puppy party, so.
So how did that make you feel, Teresa?
Well, it was very hurtful. Like, it was sad. Like, I looked around, and, like, I wish my parents were there to see the new pizza oven, and then, like, my brother wasn't there. So that was, like, kind of weird, and, like, I only have my brother, and that's it, and, like, my nieces and nephews, and that's it. I don't even have any children of my own.
It's like, oh, Teresa.
All I got is my brother and his wife and their kids, and that's it. And then my cousins that I don't talk to, and then my other cousins who I don't talk to. And then my other cousins who I don't talk to.
Like, you've had so many chances that you guys just blow over and over. I don't want to hear your pity party about how you have no one.
Exactly. She goes, the way things are, does that worry you?
Yeah, because, like, growing up, my father and his cousin, they didn't talk for 6 years over, like, $200, okay? Like, my dad was, like, no joke. Okay, he was very strong, and he was, like, stubborn, and he, like, never told me he loved me. But, like, I got my daughter, Gia, to say I love you, and that's how he started saying I love you. And that's when he started making octopus at 6 in the morning, you know? I guess that's how they was raised. Growing up, I didn't grow up with my cousins, but I want my kids to grow up with their cousins. Because my kids went to Antonia Sweet 16, but Antonia didn't come to Melania Sweet 16. She and Melania was like this. I just want these cousins to talk, because cousins should always talk.
Are you going to reach out to Kathy McKinley?
Fuck that bitch! Yeah, in hell. In hell.
So she says, yeah, Melissa said that she couldn't come to the Sweet 16 party because she had a cheer competition. Saying she was so hurt at it. Yeah, but that's a real thing, a cheer competition. I don't think you can just skip those. I don't know.
No. No, I don't. Cheer.
Those cheer ladies don't fuck around. I'll tell you that much. My niece is in cheer, and it gets dramatic over there. Okay. Those ladies get very upset if you miss anything. I've heard them talking after the cheer competitions, and I'm like, you people are terrifying me. I'm so glad that I wasn't, because there are a lot of boys in it now, you know? Basically, the boys run around and they just like pick up girls. They're like, okay, here's your station. Run, pick up this girl, then throw her. Then run and pick up that girl and throw her, and then run and pick up the, like, guys get used to do that. But there are guys in it, and I'm just so glad I showed no aptitude for that, because it's terrifying.
No. Cheer is not for me. So then Tegan's like, so, you know, it's important to pursue a path that your dad never got to. And she's like,
yeah, but I'm like, I'm so scared of, like, Joe when he's like loses his temper. Like, that's so scary to me. And she's like, well, when you were a kid looking at your dad, you were petrified. She's like, yeah, I was petrified. I'm like, Teresa, Teresa has thrown so many projectiles over the course of this show.
And like, Joe does it to her, too. Joe does it to her, too. She's like, yeah, my brother's temper is out of control. Like, I'm scared. Like, he slammed the table. Yeah, Teresa, so do you. And then it cuts to Joe later. He's like, she's so scary. You know, it's like a temper. I just can't be around her. You know, a temper is like, it's like she's terrifying.
All I know is that, like, Taco City is scary.
Excuse me?
Taco City.
You mean toxicity?
Yeah, it's scary.
And Tegan's like, I think you're being triggered. It's memories of your dad that's triggering you. And she's like, you can choose to make it stop with your choices. And if he doesn't live, if he doesn't listen, then moving on is your only other option.
But also, if he doesn't live, moving on is... if you choose to murder your brother, moving on will then also be your only option.
The only option here is for him to move on to another spiritual plane. Okay. So then we go to Marge's house, and she's calling Fessler or something. And she's like, oh, hey, baby doll, what are you here? I'm not running all over, so just come around the back. Joe, fix this. It hurts. I'm wearing a cape for Fessler. Fix my cape, Joe. All right. Not all heroes have capes, but this one does. And it's got fur sleeves, so get it fixed. I got a nice iced coffee and a nice big wine glass with a bright green straw coming out of it. I mean, seriously, does anyone do broken wrists better than me?
Oh my god, no. My hand's operating on its own again. Oh my god, look what it's doing. It just picked up a tiny slice of a mandarin orange. Okay, now I'm holding a little mandarin orange.
Oh my god,
slice.
My hand is amazing. Look, it says I deserve more and... just steam some foam for me. This is amazing. I don't think I want to ever get rid of this arm.
My hand is now balancing some Snickers creamer on it. How lovely. It's like a little display. So Jen Fessler comes in. Well,
go ahead.
Yeah, she's like, listen, I feel good post-surgery. Okay, I can still use my arm. Joe's still wiping my ass. Hopefully that'll be done soon. It's not very sexy. I mean, but he's a plumber. To him, it's just a job. Okay, that was for you, Jen. That was a good plumbing joke for you, Jen.
That was for you, Jen. Okay, so she sits in her backyard with her cape, dead. And she's like, oh my god, what did you bring? Flowers? I loved you. I would get up to meet and greet you, but I can't. Joe, take the flowers. Oh, what? My arm is taking the flowers. Well, just turned it into a rabbit. This arm is amazing. Fantastic. Go along, little bunny. Go along.
Would you like an individual slice of mandarin orange? Because I have one in my hand right now. Well, it wasn't my choice.
So Marge is like, all right, so listen, I went in for surgery. They had to re-break my arm, my prized possession. Okay, my forearms are my prized possession. Have you ever seen such forearms in your entire life? Completely hairless and pale. I mean, they're amazing.
What do you do? Wax? Laser? Do you just dip them in honey and lick the hair off of it?
It's natural. I told them, you know what? My new arm has to be just like this arm, or I'm going to want a refund on this arm. All right? It's got to be the same. So I don't know if they made it the same, but apparently it seems milk now. So that's good. And knows magic. So,
honey, you got to slow down. You're not going to go to the baseball game, are you? You're not going to go to Maimonides, are you? That's crazy.
And she's like, of course, you going? You go to baseball? And Jen's like, oh, nobody needs to see me run, honey. Nobody. Nobody needs that. She's like, well, don't worry. Because last year, Jen fell right on her face. Okay, thank God she had headgear on. Because she'd already used all the air miles to go to Turkey for that first nose job. She's got to save up before she can get another one done again. Oh, my arm's pointing up to Joe. Look at that. That one's for you. My arm just said that one's for you, Joe.
Oh my God, my arm is doing the Arsenio, the woo 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 thing. Oh wow. Wow, I'm just a real late night icon right now. So then now we go to Jennifer's house where, like, shockingly, we're seeing the kids sort of clean. Olivia's got a vacuum cleaner and the brother. I still don't know the brother's name. It's just like Olivia's brother's his name. And they're like cleaning, and Jen goes outside with Bill and he's like, that's your coffee, girl. Go get that coffee and put it between your lips and just take it down your throat, girl.
Olivia got to it first, so she had some sips. I don't think she'll be waiting tables anytime soon.
Yeah, well, they woke up late today, mister. They're excited that there's no more school. School's out for summer, baby.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
In the aftermath of a shocking crime, people always ask why. Why would someone do something like that? What could possibly push them to commit such a horrible act? Was it money? Revenge? What makes people like that tick? I'm Candace DeLong, host of the podcast Killer Psyche, where I explain the thoughts, motivation, and behaviors of the most violent figures in history. You may think you know these cases, but trust me, you do not. Using my decades of experience as an FBI agent and criminal profiler, I dig deeper into the twisted psychology of why. Many of the cases covered on Killer Psyche I actually worked on, like the serial killer Ted Kaczynski, the Unabomber, and Dennis Rader, also known as BTK. Follow Killer Psyche wherever you get your podcast. You can listen ad-free on the Amazon Music or Wondery app.
So then she's like, okay, now listen here. I don't want you to be nice to Margaret when you see her, because she started with me again at Festless Party. She said you told Melissa that I'd tell her to leave Joe for a baseball player. I'm like, well, I heard that's what she said. And because this was coming from Margaret's friend Laura, and of course Margaret got all worked up, and she called me a disheveled drug addict. This isn't disheveled. This is a shampoo commercial, baby.
Literally the monologue of a disheveled drug addict. So,
and then she goes,
you're just an albino in a wig.
That's so mean. To albinos, meaning. Like, don't make... You know, so then...
I mean, Jen is just so unhinged. Her husband looks like he's barely hanging on. I'm honestly shocked that he's still here. I totally thought he would have left during the off season, okay? But he's still here. He looks like he's barely hanging on. And then Jen just starts dumping all of this terrible behavior on him. And he is just trying to bite his tongue, you know? Every time she sees him, she's like,
oh, yeah, guess what? I went to a party. I got kicked out of it and called Margaret the C word. Why aren't you on my side, Bill? Why?
And then in true 1950s crime movie confessional style, she tells us,
you know what? Let us smoke marijuana. It's after my children go to sleep. Last time I checked, it was legal, mister, so you better release me from this jail, okay?
And she goes, Margaret has this habit of finding anything negative and throwing it in the face, no matter how it's going to affect my life.
Like, who are you talking about it? You do that all the time. You're the one coming after Margaret. Margaret made up with you. You're the one constantly coming after Margaret.
You're the one constantly calling people, quote unquote, digging, because that was last year's thing. It's like, you dig, Jennifer.
I wasn't digging. I was just curious. Can't fault a girl for being curious, can you, Pamma?
Curiosity literally killed the cat.
She's threatening to murder me.
She said I was a cat now. I'm not a cat. You're the crazy cat around here, mister.
So, Jen's like,
and then Jen Fessler was like, you have to leave. And I was like, oh, where are you, baby?
And she's like laughing and Bill's just looking at her like, oh, jeez. All of these women need boobs and face jobs. Who are they going to call? Ghostbusters? Please behave. So then we go over to back to Marge, and she's like, do you think Jen's mad at you because you booted her out? And Fester's like, oh, I know she's not. I know she's not because she texted me. She texted me about you.
Margaret's like, what? Because Margaret's so mad. Margaret was expecting... She was like, oh, Jennifer's mad at you. And she thought Jen Fessler would be like, oh, she's so mad at me. Okay, we could be allies against it, this evil person. But she's like, wait a second. Jen Aiden's okay with you?
She said, I'm sorry I yelled at your house, but your friend wouldn't stop poking at me. She goes, oh, poking. That is so funny. That is hilarious.
She said you were ruthless.
My arm is writing something. My arm is writing LOL in the air. I mean, hilarious, isn't it on?
Hey, Joe B, can we get an easel over here? I think Margaret's arm's trying to do some Pictionary. Okay. Wait, is your hand saying, I'll never tell? That's straight. That's crazy.
I'll never tell. So Festa's like, and she called you ruthless. She goes, oh, what a loser. Just listen. I just want to say, Margaret, that display was not you, okay?
Yeah, no, you're right. You're right. It wasn't me. It was my new arm. I can't control it sometimes. Sometimes it's very helpful, but sometimes it's very rude. It's not my fault.
You're saying these really mean 16-year-old things to her, Marge.
You're right. You're right. But you know what? Even a 16-year-old can be hilarious and devastating. It's not my fault.
There's nothing adult about the way that Margaret loses her shit. She completely lost control. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, Fessler. I love when the newbies act like this. Like, these women! And then next season, you know, Jen Fessler is starting Everyone's Homes on Fire.
I know, because I was like, why is Jen Fessler only a friend of? She seems like she's a full-on, like, Real Housewife material. It's like, oh, this is why. Because she's holding on to this thing that they, as women, can rise above. Like, we've seen this a lot over the past year with, like, Cherie and Monietta, too. I think that they both were like, we are women. We don't have to act like this. Bravo doesn't like that. Bravo doesn't want that at all. No, they don't.
And that's why you usually... I mean, I advise people, usually I find myself advising people, listen, if you start a show, skip the first season, because usually it's this. It's like, we need to all support each other. We're going to be different. We're all going to lift each other up. You need to get to season two, okay? That's when all that shit's out the window.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, it's like last week when Fessler was like, I have neighbors. Could you guys stop yelling? It's like, oh, you've just been demoted to friend of. So Jen's like,
you know what? Jen Fessler seems like a rational person. I'm surprised she wasn't as disgusted by Margaret's behavior. And Dolores is next to me like a fucking meat, baby. Letting her friend spit out venom. Everyone just sat there and let her rip me apart because she has shit on all of them.
Which is funny because I was like, oh yeah, wasn't this season supposed to be about Dolores and Jen having a feud? See, Margaret got in the middle. Like, this should be let Dolores go after Jen.
Yeah. Well, she keeps pulling Margaret in the middle because she keeps going to every lady and saying, don't trust Margaret. So Jen is like, she ripped me apart and they stay silent because she's got dirt on all of them. And that's why no one says anything to Roberta because they know she's an evil master puppeteer. And Bill's just like,
Bill's definitely not listening. So Margaret's like, I mean, you know what? You can't have an adult conversation with her, okay? Well, you know what? Are you gonna go see her at this game? Are you prepared to see her at the Maimonides game? She's like, oh, I won't say a thing.
I'm not gonna say a thing. I'm wounded. I am wounded. And Festa's like, at least say. She goes, no, I'm not going to. Listen, I'm going to give you a heads up. I will not even acknowledge her. She goes, you're not doing it for her. You're doing it for you.
Absolutely not. I know. No, I know I said awful things. And you know what? She asked for it. It's like,
Margaret Joseph's. Not nice. Not nice, Margaret.
Not nice. So now we go to Paul's house. And Paul's making some coffee for Dolores. And Dolores is like, thanks for picking me up in the shower last night when I fell, Paul.
Well, I'm you know, listen. Wait, hold on. I'm frothing some milk for you because you like it. It's like, oh, yeah, you're making me coffee. Thanks for doing that. It's like, oh, I've got to do it for you. She's like, I don't know how to do that. So, I'll just break. Well, of course you will. You're a woman. Let you just wait. This is some man froth you've got. Some man froth.
Now, let me tell you something while I froth this foam. I really think that what saved you is your ass. Your ass is what saved you, I think.
Yeah, because she bounced up. She fell down, but her big fake ass bounced her back up.
Yeah, basically.
So the dad comes over, and she's like, you know what? My dad loves you. You know why? Because I'm a man. Because you're a man. A real man. So the dad brings his own 2 liter of soda. And
he comes
like,
with a Coca-Cola bottle.
She's like, Dad, what, you bring your own soda now? And he goes, you know what? I don't want to put you out. All right.
It's okay, Dad. We can bring a soda. It's like, you know, I was very nervous the first time Paulie met my dad because my dad can be very intimidating. Do you know how scary it is to come face to face with a man who's brought his own Coca-Cola bottle? It's terrifying.
So then we see a clip of Dolores and Larry talking. And she's like, Dad, I was always, you know, my boyfriends were always afraid of you growing up. And he goes, I don't know why. Just because you would clean your gun in front of them, Dad. That's why. He's like,
So I need something to drink with caffeine. But, you know, after 5, I'll nothing with caffeine. Because after 5, I'll be tap dancing all night. You know. So Dolores goes, you know, Paulie knew how to play my dad like a fiddle, and I'm not just saying that because he's Irish. My dad always worried about me being alone, and he liked that Paulie would say, I'm not dating to date. I'm dating for a future, to find someone to do river dance with me. My dad loved that, always wanted me to do line dancing.
But I'm telling you, the magic words were when he said, hey, Paulie, Dolores is going to get up and walk out that door. And Paulie said, she better not open it, because that's a man's job. My father was in love. Putty in Paul's hand. Putty in his hand.
Yeah. So Paulie is going to have a heart procedure because it sounds like he has, what's it called? His heart is beating out of rhythm.
I don't know. He's like, it's overexcited at finding the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow here with Dolores. And he's like, yeah, family will be with you as long as you need us, kid. Okay. And Dolores tells us, it's been so long for me to find someone like this, and I don't want to lose it for any reason. Frank, a heart attack, you know.
It's been weird going so many episodes without someone close to me going to a hospital. So I'm in a weird way comforted by Paulie having this procedure.
That's true. Dolores is always, every episode, Dolores knows somebody in the hospital.
And it's like casually, it's like, oh, hey, kids, your dad's not coming over tonight because he's in the hospital with some strange mystery ailment and he has a blockage and hasn't pooped in 7 days. Anyway, I got you some lo mein.
No, that was a weird thing because it was he hasn't pooped in 12 hours. I was like, that was my favorite part of it is that they took Frank to the hospital because he wasn't pooping every 2 hours. You know, they're like, oh my God, has Frank not pooped in more than 2 hours? Take him to the hospital immediately.
Dolores then takes a walk with her with Dog and Larry. And Dolores like, you know what? These dogs are so spoiled, Dad. These are some spoiled dogs. Look, they don't even bring their own soda on their walks. Can you believe it? Spoiled little dogs.
So he's like, you seem happy, Dolores. And she goes, oh, yeah, that's the man I need. That's the kind of man I need back there. A man like you, Dad. A man who takes care of me. Am I close with Frank? Sure, I'm close with Frank. You know, does Frank bring his own Coke? No. And that's just how it is. And Frank's got to see that. You know, and he's like, but you built all of this on your own, Dolores. You drove that bus on your own.
I literally drove a bus. I did that.
One of my jobs, actually. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, because Frank, he's a very large man, doesn't fit in a normal sedan.
So that's how I originally met Evan Goldschneider. She's got like some weird background story. Like this year when she's like, yes, I did work for Bill Aden. There, I did. What?
Yeah. Yeah, I did. And I did drive the bus because the bus driver had to go to the hospital. He has a simple procedure.
That's how I first met Evan Goldschneider, you know. It's every husband in a different way. You know, back when I owned a pizza company, gosh, I was in competition with Fuda all the time. Like it's nice to finally know him in a casual setting, you know.
You know what? I just want Paul to know he's the number one man in my life, okay? And when there's heart surgery coming up, it's very scary. And Larry's like, well, I'll be honest with you, Dolores. I'm not gonna put the horse ahead of the cart or whatever. Or the bus.
Or the Coca-Cola. Or the Coca-Cola, Dolores. But I like him. Dad, what is he? Come on, Dad. A man? A real man, Dad. Very good. Let's go back. So now we see Rachel and Fuda at the batting cage.
Humdingers. Excuse me. This batting cage place has a name, and it's called Humdingers.
That's a real humdinger, Bill.
Yeah, let's go to Humdingers. Hey, Rachel, you want to go to Humdingers? Oh, you know I'm a big Humdinger fathead. Let's do it.
So basically the guys all gather because it's like date night, and the guys are just, now you see why everybody Dolores knows is in the hospital, okay? Frank's like, all right, let's get some chicken wings, some tater skins, some deep fried tater skins with chicken wings on top of those. I'll have a green apple martini with a dollop of mayonnaise on that, when you can get that.
Yeah, Dolores. Well, Dolores isn't here, but if she were here, I'd get her the Humdinger burger. The Humburger? Is that what that's called? Okay, I'll have one of those. Humdinger. Oh, could I have the Humdinger tuna tartare too, please? Thank you very much.
So you're talking about this game coming up, and Frank's like, this might be the first time Pooley and I are in the same place. And Melissa's like, yeah, you know, I think this guy is, you know, it's different than the other guys that Dolores dates. You know, this guy's not going to be warm like David. Okay, and then we see a clip of David taking care of Frank after he got capped in the knees for not finishing whatever construction money he borrowed money for the mob for, yeah. Allegedly by me. That was like an original allegation from me. David being so nice to him and stuff. And David's like, yeah, it was real nice giving you a shower earlier. Frank's like, yeah, well, it's another thing when you grab my balls.
And then Joe Gorga's like, you know, when she was with David, like, he didn't give her the time of the day. And, like, you were always there for her, okay? And now she's got Paulie. And Paulie's always around, you know? And Melissa's like, yeah, because she's got a man with her now. A man.
So that's this conversation. You
it's
know?
All about and, that. Like,
yeah, and Joe's like, yeah, well, let me tell you the difference. You know, now she don't give Frank the time of day. And Frank's like, yeah, it's affecting our family dynamic. You did that when you cheated on her multiple times, you fucking idiot. And he's like, I've always considered myself a good father, but I wasn't a good husband, and I regret that every day. I mean, that's nice, Frank, but you being a good husband is part of being a good father, okay? Ooh, and you're snap. Not entitled to a position you gave up decades ago with your couch breaking and boardwalk hooker dalliances, okay? You don't get to complain about that still, Frank. And you don't get to cry on camera and try and get more girls writing you on DMs, being like, oh, you poor thing, how can I help you, honey? Come here, come to mama.
But I love Dolores, okay? I love her, and she knows it. I say it all the time. Look, my this Long Island medium girl that I brought along with me, she knows, okay? She knows I say it all the time. Dolores is one of the most important people of my life. I don't even have to say it because she already can see it in my head, okay?
Brittany is the Long Island medium origin story.
I know. She's like definitely the hair origin story at the very least. I mean, like, she's allegedly 31 or 32, and she's like that hair. That hair is like... It looks like the Matterhorn at Disney. It's crazy. So then Frank tells us, you know, we worked hard to where we are today, and it wasn't easy. So Paulie comes around, and Dolores and I probably are the furthest we've ever been from one another in years, at least since I cheated on her with about 45 different women. I don't know. It's crazy.
And Melissa's like, yeah, you might have to back off this one. I don't think you're going to win this one. And Frank goes, babe, should we set dynamics, huh? Should we set dynamics, Brittany? And Brittany's like, I'm used to it, but of course, you know, once you're around it, you understand there's nothing to be worried about, all right? And Fuda is like, do you think that Paul's insecure? And he's like, oh, yeah? Yeah, you want to see, you think he's insecure now? Wait till he sees me play softball, huh?
So then they start... there are the batting cages and they're swinging. No one can hit a ball except Joe Gorga. And Melissa's like, oh my God, like, no, be careful. It's going to break my 17 nose jobs. Hey, babe, Margaret says I could have a ball player. So let's see what I'm missing, babe. Come on, babe.
God, Melissa can't let anything go. I mean, all she says are references to storylines or other people's lines. Like, my 17 nose jobs, babe. Oh, and Margaret said I could have dated a ball player. God, Melissa is obsessed.
What's
so,
this? What's this? This is the first time I'm hearing about this. What's going on? Huh? What's going on with the ball play? So Melissa's like, oh, Jennifer, she keeps like trying to throw in my face that Margaret teases, like, oh, Melissa could be with a ball player, you know? And like, basically, she's just like taking something Margaret says way out of context to make us all turn on Margaret.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I'm looking for some lip stuff.
Dolore, where's the lip stuff? Where's the lip stuff, Dolore?
With my lip stuff, Dolore, with my bright yellow backpack. Not here, typical. So, yeah. Rachel is, Melissa's like, yeah, you know, obviously Jen has her plan for a revenge tour and I'm not biting. And Rachel's like, well, I was with Jen and Tree and they gave me warnings about being friends with Marge. Tree said Marge is a better friend than an enemy. And Melissa's like, see, now I know fake when I see it. And, you know, then I buy it and I mark it up and I sell it in, you know, I sell it at a...
to all the people.
I sell it as real. Yeah, I sell it as real in my store, you know? And I knew her going up to Marge was fake because she hates Marge.
She goes, and she doesn't care about what, she doesn't care what you say or what you say or what Teresa says. I don't care what anyone says, okay? I don't care what, like, what Louis says, okay? She hates them. And Melissa says, I see Louis for who he is. He's charming, but he's manipulating. And it's obvious that Louis told her, be good to Margaret because don't fuck with Margaret because we're going to need Margaret to stop telling the truth about us. That's what I believe.
Yeah.
Which and I Melissa, don't disagree with, by the way.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that either. Also, it's not a dumb move. It's a very smart move. It's like, don't keep coming after somebody who knows everything that they can use against you. That's a bunch of stuff they can use against you. So Melissa's like, she hates Margaret, she hates Joe, and she hates me. So I'm going to need this fake parade that's been rolling by to come to a stop, okay? And Rachel, she goes, is that all she said? Give me more. Give me more. And Rachel said, well, she said to proceed with caution. That's all. And then Rachel tells us, I didn't ask their opinions about nothing, and I ain't afraid of nobody. So that I know.
That was like a weird twist from Rachel, I thought, because they're like sort of, you know, Melissa's talking about this, like the situation with Jennifer. And then Rachel just throws big fuel on the fire. She just repeats what was said at this Barbie party. And so it gets them all in a tizzy. And she shares it like, oh my God, you guys. And you know what else is crazy? Like, I'm in this with you. And then they react to it. She goes, whoa, I didn't ask for their opinions on this and they're not going to sway me. I was like, well, then why did you like share it? Like it was like, like it was dish for all of you guys, you know?
Oh, I was taking it as she was talking about Teresa and Jen. She's like, I didn't ask their opinions and I'm not afraid of anybody.
Oh, it could be that. That would make much more sense. Because my version was like, why are you like saying, hey, like I got this scoop and then being like all upset at them for reacting to the scoop?
No, I think that Rachel has chosen team Melissa and Marge. Mm. And Danielle has chosen team Teresa and Jen. That's what it looks like from this episode.
Very much. Well, definitely Danielle has, for sure.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
Yeah, so Melissa's like, let me enlighten you. They're trying to ice Marge out. Oh, you really? Wow, good, deep Melissa. You know, I'm sure she can't tell. And Rachel's like, I don't give a flying shit, and I have a very good judge of character.
Yeah, she goes, so I'm not gonna be influenced. I'm just not. So, but that again, I was like, are you worried that Melissa's trying to turn you against someone when you are the one who brought the information that got them all in a tizzy?
Oh so yeah, I took it as her saying, I'm a good judge of character. Like I know that Melissa's not what they're saying because I'm a good judge. But I don't. Who knows? So Rachel's like, do you think Tree's gonna be mad? And Melissa's like, I don't give a flying fuck what Teresa thinks.
Yeah. Melissa's on one. So now it's time to go to Brooklyn to Maimonides Park. So Dolores is walking to the locker rooms, this big fundraiser thing. She just wants it to be bigger and better than last year. She's going to be selling the sexy husband calendar at the game to help the fundraising and everything. And people are showing up into the locker room and looking at the calendar. Marge and Joe B show up. Marge is like, I'm here. Look, I'm already holding a baseball. I wasn't even supposed to be doing this, but my hand. It's like it just wants to be part of the game. I'm sorry. I can't help it.
I had to have surgery. Could you believe it? Guys, I'm on drugs like Jennifer, so I'm all right. I'm fine.
At least I'm not disheveled.
Yeah. So Danielle's like, how do you think everything's going to go today? And she goes, oh, fine, because I'm not going to, you know, I'm not going to sit here at a charity event and argue. And Danielle goes, yeah, that was a 10.
And, you know, unfortunately, it was such a nice brunch. It was such a nice brunch, too. I'm like, who?
Danielle, shut up. What are you?
I know.
Who are you going to come for Marge for Teresa right now? Bad move.
You know what? The thing with me is if I have a fight with someone, even if it's a disheveled drug addict, okay, if I make up with them, I think we're definitely made up. Like, this girl's crazy. She did things to unravel it. She told Melissa I was trying to break up a marriage. Melissa knows exactly what I said to her. I told Melissa, stop feeling bad. You're so gorgeous. You can go with any ball player you want. You can have a Daryl Strawberry or a Doc Gooden or a Gary Cohn or Mookie Blaylock. Really anyone you could ever want from the 86 Mets.
And Danielle's like, well, someone said that to me. I would
take it as you saying that what we have isn't special. I don't like, you know what? Don't tell me that shit. Don't tell me. Because, like, you know, me think.
I just bow. I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about.
Yeah, she's like, my God. If you want to build me up, say my boobs are perky for the day. Don't come and tell me I should be married to someone else. I'm like, okay, congratulations. You're as big of an idiot as Teresa. Congratulations. Like, that's not what she was saying at all. Like, it's literally not. She wasn't saying, go marry a baseball player. And the fact that Danielle is still taking it that way, even when it's being explained, she's a dum-dum.
She's a dum-dum, and you can tell she's just here for Teresa because she's even copying the storyline of, like, my brother and I don't speak, and it's his wife's fault.
Yeah.
You know? So then Marge is like, this girl's crazy. I'm telling you. So Rachel and Fessler come, and she's like, oh, we're talking about the Jen fight because she said horrible things, okay? And Danielle's like, you know,
I'm friends with Jen, so it's very hard for me to hear things about her. And her and Teresa were just so close. You know,
like, you just got here. You've been here for 5 minutes, and now all of a sudden you're like, I'm just so close with Jennifer Eden. I'm so excited to see your house for the first time.
Marge is like, so why are you bringing up Tree? I mean, me and Tree are fine too, unless she's bitching about something now. What's going on with that? She goes,
well, you know, they're my friends, so she just said, keep your eyes open. That's all she said about it.
And she goes, oh, fuck, crying out loud.
Yeah. She said that you're a better friend than an enemy. Look, she's talking, Teresa, okay? Look, she's talking. Specifically, it's a little baby with the voice of Bruce Willis, okay? That's what I'm talking about. That's what Teresa's mindset's like right now.
Why do I see Teresa's face but hear Roseanne Barr's voice? Why? Look who's talking, okay?
I mean, you're the worst enemy known to man. Well, that's pretty big. That she just elevated Teresa to be the worst enemy.
Well, Teresa is an enemy that you do not want to have, you know. And so she's like, I was never even mean to Teresa. I don't know where this is coming from. And Rachel's like, yeah, and they were also saying that she swayed people's decisions. And Danielle's like,
yeah, and you guys obviously have a lot of history, but I don't want to go into a friendship that you're going to, like, come after me at some point, you know?
And then Danielle says, has the nerve to say, I can't possibly wrap my head around a human wanting to dig up things in my past to destroy me, but my gut always tells me to listen to my friends, and they obviously have been done dirty. I'm like, you are sticking up for Jennifer Aiden. This is what she does. Margaret basically did it once. Margaret did it once, and it was like, it worked out pretty badly for Margaret. A lot of the audience turned against her. Jennifer does this every single season. And she's like, oh, I can't, you know, I don't know if I could be friends with Margaret because she digs up people. She digs up things about people. It's like, oh, you're an idiot.
Yeah. And she's like,
I just don't know why the viciousness comes out straight out the gate. That's what I don't get.
I'm like, shut up. This is none of your business. And you're on the wrong team. And you're starting all of this with Marge right now. And Marge is not biting. I like that Marge is arguing with her, but just being like, listen, you don't understand, stupid. Okay. Have fun being stupid, dumb face. Okay.
So if you do something stupid to me, I'm going to say what? Are you fucking crazy? And so Danielle is just like, I don't know who this woman is. And Margaret's like, she says at this point, she's like obviously suffering very badly, Jennifer. And that is what it is. She's a suffering, disheveled drug addict. I can't help her anymore.
And Jen's like,
we made it. Hi, everybody.
Take me out to the ball game, baby. Seventh inning stretch.
Well, hello, Bill. You doing good? Hi, Jennifer. And Jennifer just ignores her. And Bill goes, we're here for charity. And Marge goes, yes, charity behavior. Call it a day. It's a day of charity behavior. That's what we're doing. Hi, Jen. It's just like,
I'm going to do whatever I can to make this charity event harmonious. Sorry, I meant harmonious. Harmonious sounds bad. It would be just screaming and yelling at everyone just like common whores at an event.
So Joey, little Joey, is talking to Teresa, and Joe comes and takes him away from Teresa. Joe's like, hey, come on over here. And he tells us, I got to keep my distance from Tree, because Tree can go from 0 to 100 immediately, and then I got to defend myself. You know, I don't want to have to do that. I want to have to do that.
Yeah, and then the cousins are, like, hugging, because they have, like, not seen each other in, like, months. And there's, like, awkward... Basically, what happens is Joe and Teresa... They sort of have this awkward, like, hi, and, like, kisses on the cheeks. And then everyone, like, they pull out this, the calendar, the charity calendar, and everyone just stares at the calendar and jokes about the calendar, so that way they don't have to look at each other and talk to each other. They just all are just, like, staring at it, like, look at that,
yeah, look at that, that's pretty good. Hey, Gia, come look at Louie, look at your new stepdad, he's shirtless, yeah, come look at, yeah, come look good over here.
It's, like, this weird, like... This way we can act like we're all doing something together without interacting with each other whatsoever.
It's like sweet family time looking at the stripper calendar. It's like, oh.
I know.
So she's like, this is the Joe that I like. Like, this is the way it always should be, especially when we're around our children.
So then we go to play some ball, and it's like, baseball, baseball. And then Melissa's like, I wonder if my new ball player would hit like that. God, Melissa, you fucking try hard, dude. It's like your 10th year.
So, yeah, we're just watching more baseball and more baseball. Jennifer Aiden's like,
last year we had a professional athlete on our team. Now who do we have? Joe Koga? I don't know if he's tall enough to catch the ball, baby. Better, 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 better up. Yes.
And then Danielle is really good at it. And she's like,
Don't let the hairs and the nails fool you, because I can get down. I grew up in the neighborhood with all boys. I can play everything. Football, softball, baseball, soccer, you know, whatever. Give it to me.
And then they show her as a little girl. Someone's videotaping her. And they go, hey, kid, give me a name.
She's like, Danielle, hana, la, la, hana. Don't you mess with me, buddy.
Danielle Ippolito Mondolino.
So then Jennifer.
Yeah, something like that. She's like chomping gum, getting ready to throw the softball.
So Rachel and Jennifer are talking, and Rachel's like, so Jennifer, so I was last week, my heart broke because I was talking to Olivia, and she said when she grows up, she wants to be a therapist for love. And Jennifer's like,
oh no, before she wanted to be a Broadway star, she wanted to be on stage, she wanted to be famous, and now she wants to have a career where she helps people. It's so sad, it's so sad.
Margaret ruined my child's Broadway career.
She wanted to go down a path with rejection and sadness and who knows what sort of personal damage you could take on. And now she just wants to be a frumpy, highly educated person.
Yeah. And Jen's like, this is why I never spoke about this infidelity. But this reason right here.
Why would I want them to know about our trauma? Every time we fight, Olivia will come in and say, remember? You love each other, mama. You love each other. Jesus Christ. Superstar.
But by the way, I think that's so sweet that when you're fighting, your kid comes in and says, remember that you love each other. And I don't think that your husband has to have cheated for your kids not to like hearing you fight.
Yeah. Yeah,
but she used to love her fighting before. She'd come in and do monologues from Shakespeare. Now yeah. Because she wanted to go to the stage, baby.
We used to fight, and Olivia would come in and sing, we're going to score tonight. Na-na-na. One time I kicked Bill out of the house, and Olivia stood at the front door singing, Starlight Express. Starlight Express, are you real? Yes or no?
Oh, when Bill and I would get into a bad fight, Olivia would just go into the garage and stand on a tire and say, lift me up. I'm Grisabella, take me to the next plane.
So, Jen's like, I'm not going to get over this that easily. So now she has another reason to be mad at Marge. And so... everyone's asking about Polly, and Dolores is like, he's sick. He had heart surgery. He has a short circuit in his heart. I'm telling you, that Steve Guttenberg is literally in everything.
What, Johnny Five is in his ventricle? Yeah, Frank, that's exactly right. So Joe B is like, Joe Bonino is like, well, you know what? You got to pass if you have surgery. And Gorga's like, yeah. He's like, yeah, but look at this guy. Look at Frank. He's sad. Look at him. He's crying and everything. You look at him. He's crestfallen. And Dolores is like, well, you know what? It's a little transition, but that's all it is. It's like when I transitioned to having a big butt and I became more comfortable with falling over in the shower. It's just a little adjustment period.
Yeah, and Frank's like, but all these years we've been together, you can't just, like, pretend it never happened. I saw it crying the other day, Dolores. I saw it crying, you know? And Dolores is like, yeah, but now, Frank, we gotta worry about how Paulie feels. You know, do you understand that? And Frank's like, And Marge is like, I could cry. Frank looks at, oh my God, my arm is dabbing my face, like, the tears away. I'm not crying, arm. I don't know why it's doing that.
I could learn a thing or two from Johnny Five at this point, to be frank. So then Dolores is like, no, Frank doesn't like change. And not one thing in our life when we got divorced changed, except being intimate. And then at a certain point, he had to share a room with a chinchilla, which was awkward. But you can make me feel guilty for being in a relationship that I now deserve. Fucking knock it off. You can't do that.
So Teresa, over at another part of the area, calls little Joey over, saying,
Joey, hey, Joey, did you lighten his hairs, huh? No, it's natural, like my girls. Gee, Melania, look, their hair's light, too. Look, it's Joey's hair's light, your hair's light, Joey. Look at them, their hair's light, your hair's light, too.
Gia tells us, my cousins are growing up so fast. Every time I see them, it just reminds me that I'm not able to be there for them as much as I want to. And it almost feels like my Zia Joe and my Zia Melissa are trying to put a wedge in between us. And that's definitely a feeling that doesn't sit well with me. Like, you've got a driver's license. You're 21, 22 at this point.
Go yeah, over. And you're pick part of the problem at the this point, Gia. Yeah,
pick
I think
up the cousins is... and go out to a burger, you know?
Yeah, I think Gia is part of the problem at this point. She so, is. Joe, you know, it's how you're raised. How can you not, you know, when all your parents do are shit-talking each other? So, Joe, of course, is like, Joe, let's go. Get away from them. Get away from them.
I know. Joe's not helping the case either. So then the game ends. They raise like $200,000. Dolores is like, you know, there was some bumps in the road, but enough about Frank's back. Some tears. And, you know, we raised some money. It was great news. So now our second therapy scene of the episode, which takes place in a giant Victorian house. It looks a little haunted.
Yeah, real weird house. It's like up in Queens or something. I'm not sure where, but it reminds me of like one of those houses. Everything's like wood paneling, you know. Mm-hmm. There's like wall phones everywhere and like those desks that roll down. You know, it's a very old person's house. And this lady, I was like, okay, this is an actual therapist. And probably like, you know, garage sale haver. Like, she looks like someone who has a garage sale every week.
Maybe but a Beanie Baby Dr. collector. Judy.
Yes, possibly. Dr. Judy, played by Carol Radziwill out of Glam.
Poor Dr. Judy. Dr. Judy has a big... the first time I feel like I've seen a wig with split ends, but she has it. So so Bill and Jennifer show up, and they sit down in the waiting room, and Bill's like, well, this is an unfortunate reality. And Jen's talking about how Bill has been like really against therapy because he'd rather just be quiet, and like a good marriage to him is when they don't talk about anything.
Yeah. But then I told him that Olivia wants to be a love therapist, and he had nothing to say but to sit there in shame. And finally he said, but what about cats? And I said, this is your fault.
And then he looked at me even longer, and then he finally said, you realize there's no such thing as love therapist, right? And I said, quiet, baby, this is my storyline.
And then Jen tells him, and listen, Bill, if you have concerns about me, I want to know them. I mean, if I do things that bother you, you got to tell me, baby. I'm like, yeah, right. Cut to completely shooting him down if he says one single critical thing of her.
Exactly. So then... they finally go into their session. Judy is sitting in an enormous chair. She's like slouched in this huge chair. She's like, so tell me what brings you here. And Jen's like, okay, well, just off the top of my mind,
Basically, 11 years ago, I was pregnant with our fourth child, and then Bill cheated with me, and I didn't tell anybody, and it was as if it never happened, and that was like my process. But then there was another woman, and they found out about the infidelity, and she brought it up, and now I had to process it, and everybody, including my kids, we're going to find out about this. I don't know, just something. Just that's what comes to my mind.
I love that Jen is there to just save some money. She's like, I'm not even going to let this lady dig. This is everything right now.
Here it is.
And so the doctor's like, so how did they find out about it? And she goes, well, Bill told the oldest son and I told Gabriella, but my daughter Olivia saw it on TikTok. So she not even heard the news that they were getting a divorce, that Bill was cheating on me. She heard it with an arm dance. Your dad's cheating.
It was the Bill Laden dance challenge. It was mortifying. Someone made a scallion pancake on TikTok, and they made it in the shape of Bill Laden cheated on his wife.
Oh, she ended up learning a new slime on TikTok called Your Daddy's a Cheater. Jen tells us that Olivia, when she found out, Olivia just looked at her and said, Mama, do all men cheat? And flicked her hair. And I said, you know what, baby? People make mistakes.
How do you think you came into this world, sweetheart?
So Judy was like, she's like, you're concerned about the effect on the kids? And Jen's like,
yes, it's come to my attention that my daughter Olivia wants to be a disgusting, haggard therapist. Could you imagine something as terrible as that? She wants to be a therapist. What a horrific, embarrassing, mortifying career choice.
And she's like, yeah, and then she hears us bicker and she says, kiss each other. She's like, maybe we should move this conversation over to stop screaming and yelling at each other in front of your children. Maybe that's where this conversation needs to go.
There's that too.
I think you're traumatizing your children at this point. Just hearing from your own tale, I think you're both traumatizing your children. Stop screaming in front of your children.
So Judy's like, well, because you think it means that this affected her a lot. Oh, yeah. She goes,
yeah. She's like, kiss.
So Judy's like, well, she wants the security of knowing everything's okay. And, she's, you know, it's 10 years ago, you forgot and forgave. And now?
She goes, well, of course, like a little bit of anger there, because ultimately, if Bill didn't do this, the woman would have nothing to come to me with.
I'm like, oh, so you're angry, not that Bill was disloyal to you, that he cheated on you. You're angry that now someone can like come at you on a reality show with it. Hold it against you.
Yeah, basically. But I think ultimately she's also mad that Bill just doesn't have her back, period. It's like he didn't have his back then. She was pregnant. He was cheating on her. Now fast forward all these years later, the news comes out and she's still the one to fight alone, saying, stop talking about it. It's not cool for you guys to keep talking about it, while Bill literally hides in a bush and watches with a drink. You know, yeah. I think it's like a general thing of what the fuck, dude, you don't have my back. Now, I get that. On the other hand, it's hard to have your back sometimes because you go at people in such a vicious, disgusting way that no mature person is going to have your back. Like, right. No solid thinking person can have your back. You act like a fucking nutcase, dude.
Yeah. It's true. So now Dr. Judy asks Bill how he feels about all of it. And he's like, well, my relationship with the kids, in their eye, mom is the perfect person. She doesn't push them too much. She's only there to have a good time. And dad.
Supportive. It's called being supportive, Bill.
And well, it's dad who's hard on us, who pushes us, who's absolutely fabulous with his style, but also now that he's got infidelity under his belt, now I can't even push my kids to do all the things I want them to do anymore. It's actually hideous.
Some kids need micromanagement to achieve what they can achieve.
And Jen's like, he wants me to do the micromanaging. Everything going wrong is me. He wants me to be the enforcer. But think about the child-to-parent ratio here. We're five. We're one against five because there's only one participating parent.
And the doctor, I love Dr. Judy. She's like, you're not participating? Come on, Bill.
How you not participate? Come on now, Bill. And she's like,
yeah, he has to put it all on my shoulders where I keep on telling him, and I feel like I'm your employee, and now you're coming and saying, I don't like the job you did, okay?
And he's like, well, the problem is my job is 24 hours and 24 hours a day. stress. That's what my job is.
And she's like, but here's the thing. You come home and you go straight to the pool house for 3 hours. You only come in once we're done eating dinner.
Okay, that's called massive avoidance.
Yeah.
Okay? And he should not be allowed to do that. I didn't know that he was doing that every night. That's fucking crazy.
I think we all forgot what Bill was like the first season that the Aidens were on. The first season that Aidens were on, Bill was so controlling. And he also seemed like he wanted to avoid Jen at all costs. And he was like a dick. And then like somehow, you know, Bill has become this charming, charming guy on the show. But like, I think the issues from their first season are still clearly there, because I didn't realize that he was just like escaping to the pool house for 3 hours every day. At this point, just burn that pool house down, because that pool house has been the source of so much misery for Jen.
And we've heard the pool house stuff before, like kind of, but I didn't know he was in there every night staying there, you know? So, you know, part of it is Bill has to speak up too. I think his thing is like, you know, if I just stay quiet, even though I'm fucking annoyed, as long as I don't tell her something that she's going to go off about, we'll be safe. I don't mean physically safe, but like just keep the peace at home. But he's going to have to say something. Like there's obviously a reason that you're avoiding being at home. And Jen seems like a huge pain in the ass. So I'm sure he's avoiding that and raising 5 kids, because that's got to be hell. But yeah, he can't do that.
But her pain in the assness is probably directly related to him not being present. Yeah,
exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
Like,
I agree.
Whether it's just like she's frustrated, she's hurt, or maybe she just wants to have like a voice because she feels like he's not paying attention or something. So Dr. Judy has a pretty clear observation. She goes, Bill is very silent. Do you know this? You know this about your husband? He's silent. He's a quiet man. Yeah.
So, yeah, because then Jen's like, yeah, he's always silent. And when I dealt with the infidelity, he's silent. When I told him I'm going to forgive him, he's silent. This is our life, Judy. She's like, this is our life, Judy. We push it under the rug. And it's gotten to the point where I'm getting fed up. And yeah. Bill's just like, like he laughs. And she's like, I'm not your subordinate here. I'm your partner. And I need my partner to meet me halfway. It's 20 years of him having a wife that never had to complain. So why is it so hard to expect a little in return? And the doctor goes, what I'm hearing is she doesn't feel appreciated for her efforts. But I'm also hearing that she feels lonely. And from Bill, I'm hearing, not even fucking crickets. At least crickets make a noise. I mean, what is this man? Does this man need to be charged? What's wrong with this man?
And Bill's like, well, I guess you do have a point. And she goes, and I have something very important to say now. This is going to be something at the crux of your issues. And my suggestion is that we make another appointment and I'll tell you about it then. Sorry, it's the oldest gambit in the world. Therapist wins. Therapist wins.
And Bill just goes, great.
It's like, oh, I see how this works. You're just going to string us along.
Yep, that's how it is. So good luck, you crazy kids.
Yep. And that was the end of the episode. So thanks, everyone, for watching, listening and watching. And we'll be back later this week with all our usual recaps. So stay tuned and we'll catch you on the next one. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela.
Itchels. Dana C.
Dana Do. Aaron McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Can't stop fanning over Tina Manning.
She's always supplying, it's Kelly Ryan.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
You're never alone with Lacey Monteleone.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
There ain't no problem that Sarah Salvia can't solve ya.
Christy Wowardy Dowardy.
The Bay Area Betches, Betches.
And our super premium sponsors, the incredible edible Matthews Sisters.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
She's not harsh, she's Jill Hirsch.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Erica 500 Days of Summers.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
Undo your fasteners, it's Aaron Kastner.
We love him madly, it's Kyle Pod Shadley.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
My favorite murdo, Karen McMurdo.
McMurdo.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Make it Lastner with Aaron Kastner.
We want to hang with Liz Lang.
Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony. Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kutar. We love you guys.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Watch What Crappens ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.